Grace to you and peace this Christmas morning from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christmas morning services are always a bit surreal for me, usually because this is the actual feast day. It's the day that everyone has been preparing for the past month plus, and it's usually relatively sparsely attended. When I looked at a couple of our hymns, I almost swapped a couple of them out because they're a little bit high up there on some of them. But this year it's the third service in 24 hours. 2017 was the last Christmas Monday. Before that, 2006, which was before I was preaching consistently. So you forget this cycle and its stresses. In honor of the strangeness, I thought I'd use the epistle lesson from today, from Hebrews, for the sermon text. I don't know how much you know about the letter of Hebrews. The biggest thing about it is probably we have no idea who wrote it. Every other book of the New Testament is attributed to some apostle. And there's no real reason to discount any of the attributions. Hebrews is the exception that proves the rule. Lots of people have asserted that Paul wrote it. Its position in order is something of a nod towards that. It comes at the end of Paul's letters that bear his name, and before the letters that bear somebody else's name. Although the ordering of Paul's letters is by their length. So if the early church was extremely confident that this was from Paul, they would have put it much sooner, say between Galatians and Ephesians. Luther suggested the New Testament figure Apollos as the writer. And making such guesses has been a parlor game for a long time. But the answer is really, we don't know. The second weird thing about the letter is its introductory argument or its purpose. The summation of the argument is that Jesus the Son is greater than the angels. Why we've been singing all those angel songs. And yes, to you and me, that argument seems stupendously obvious. The Son would be greater than the angels. So why must that argument have been included in the New Testament? And why is it especially part of the letter to the Hebrews? The answer is simply that a great fascination with angels had overtaken much of Judaism in the preceding couple of centuries. In the apocryphal literature, which was in Luther's Bible but has disappeared from ours, more of them were named. In the canonical books, only Michael and Gabriel. There are five other angels named in the Apocrypha, and there are all kinds of biblical fan fiction from the same time frame, things like the Book of Enoch, which is all about angels and watchers and demons and names seven more of them and two other of the biblical ones. And apparently, the popular Jewish imagination of the day called up the angels as the popular Roman Catholic imagination might call upon the saints. Now, we moderns go through spiritual fads quicker. But I remember living through at least one bout of angel fever. Everything from ranks of angels to numbers of them to personal guardian angels was talked about in great detail. And how many angels can dance on the head of a pin just might be the Middle Ages version of this. Who knows? Given the current interest in UFOs, maybe the next round of angels and demons is upon us. But why do they keep coming up? My guess is they exist, and lots of people have some type of direct experience with them. They're powerful, but probably most importantly, angels are not God Himself, and hence are safer to talk about. But the entire argument of Hebrews is basically, stop it. First of all, if you are talking about anything spiritual, your source should be the prophets. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. The prophets had the word. These are how God spoke to us. They are for our proper understanding. But even more than the prophets, in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Stop making up names and ranks and esoteric theology of angels when you have better things. The prophets, and now the Son. And then, I think we probably have the singular reason why Hebrews is in the New Testament. Who is the Son? He's the heir of all things. Everything belongs to the Son because it has been given to Him by the Father. Call Him the Omega. He's the creator of the world, through whom also He created the world. Call Him the Alpha. John's Gospel opens with the same thing. And this is a reason that the Christian reads the Old Testament with Christ in mind. Israel's interaction with God in the Old Testament was always with Christ. Paul's oddball saying that the rock followed Israel in the desert, the one that Moses struck and water comes from, was Christ. It was Christ at the top of Sinai giving the law. It was Christ who ate with the elders. And then the author attempts to explain the relationship between the Son, whom we see, and the Father. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. God from God, light from light, very God of very God. How does this true God, Alpha and Omega, interact with us? He upholds the universe by the word of His power. The word that spoke all things into being is the same word which still sustains all things day to day. All things rest upon that word of God. Anything else? Oh yeah. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So basically, who is the Son? The entire second article of the Creed. So, us foolish people should stop playing around with names of angels because the Son has revealed Himself to us and invites us into His life. Ask the Son. Think about these things. If you are pondering things ineffable, put down the angels and ponder the incarnation. How did this one whom God calls His Son become a baby, sharing our flesh? The one begotten of the Father has assumed into Himself our humanity. God didn't do that through angels. What angel's form did God ever take on? As it was, this child is the one that the angels sang about. What angel or man or anything in all creation did God ever direct towards worship? Other than Mary's Son? And what human or angel has ever sat on that eternal throne? All creation is like a robe that will be rolled up, like a garment that will be changed. But the Son is the same forever. And the Son today has come to us. Today, the Son has made the will of the Father known, that we should know God aright, that we should not perish but have everlasting life, that even when we found no room for them in the inn, God has made for us a home with many mansions. Today, we should put aside our fear of God Almighty, because just like us, He was once a helpless infant. He understands our helplessness, ours, which extends into adulthood with our own sin. But He made purification for sin. And He's given us the right to become children of God. So we really can stop with theological fads, because we've been given the Son, which is the most excellent name to call upon and to ponder and to rejoice. The best thing that we can do with the angels is join in their praise. Amen.